and we've been looking in Titus, and we came across this term, elder. And maybe you've thought about it, maybe you haven't, but who leads the local church? And we often say, well, we have pastors and elders, and we think of them as two different things. But the Bible doesn't make that distinction. And so as we wrestle with what do we believe about the local church leadership, it's important for us to go to Scripture and say, well, what does the Bible say? How does it lay it out? And we began talking last week, but this week we're going to pause and kind of do an overview of the New Testament in regards to the leadership of the church. And it's important because the Bible is God's authoritative word that applies to us. Scripture reflects God's purpose and design. By precept and principle, we are guided and governed by Scripture. Now, we know that the Old Testament had ceremonial laws that Christ came and fulfilled when he was on earth and was crucified and resurrected, but we also know that the moral principles flow from the character of God. And so whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, those moral principles continue to apply because they're a reflection of God's nature and God's character. But for us, God has given us his word. And there are times where God gives us freedom. Oftentimes we have freedom within bounds, let's say. When we look at it and we say, well, what should we do on Sunday morning? We could go through the entire New Testament, and there are a lot of questions that we have the Bible doesn't answer. What is the exact order of the service that we should have? Things like that. Should we use an organ, a piano, electric guitar, or drums? God doesn't answer that. Should we sing a cappella? And this has allowed the church to contextualize around the world. Most religions, every religion, honestly, around the world says that you need to be like us and you need to change. In Islam, for instance, that to truly read the Quran, you need to read it in Arabic, and that you need to adopt the dress and the lifestyles that are in there. In Christianity, we're allowed to contextualize into that culture because God has given us that freedom. And so as you look at the church around the world, you find this diversity of expression, although they're still governed and guided by the same book. However, there are things that God has instructed us on how things ought to be. And in those areas, we have a responsibility to do it God's way and no other. Some things aren't open to opinion or option. And let me share an odd story in the Old Testament that highlights this. In Leviticus chapter 10, I'm sure all of you are familiar with Leviticus chapter 10. But let me just refresh our memories of this story. Sometimes it's called Strange Fire. But it's a story about Moses and his two sons, Nadab and Abihu. And, Aaron and his two sons, Nadab and Abihu. And Aaron was the priest that was established during the time of Moses. And his sons were in process of becoming priests, and they were fulfilling that role as well. Except we find that there were some problems with them. Their attitude was they were doing it for their own glory. They were doing it for their own profit. And they decided they were going to do it their own way. God was explicit in how the Old Testament Jews during the time of Moses were supposed to worship him. And God said, this is the way that you do it. Well, Nadab and Abihu, when it's their turn to do the incense offering, they decide, we're going to do it another way. And so if you look at Leviticus chapter 10, it says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which had not been commanded them. So God had given them very specific regulations on how they were to administer this, and they decided that they were going to change things up. You know, they wanted to be hip and trendy, and so they were going to change things up. And then listen to what happened, though, in verse 2. It says, "And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord." Whoa. They just decided to do a little mixture in the incense, and you know, was God being petty and vindictive? No, absolutely not. And this is important for us to realize. Notice what it says in verse 3. It says, "Then Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all people, I will be glorified.' And Aaron held his peace." So what God was saying here is that when they decided to just disregard my word, they were dishonoring me in front of all of the people. And they were treating me without honor. And they were disregarding what I said. And it was a matter of them disregarding God's explicit word. And so when we come to the Bible, when God has said, "This is how I want you to do things," and he is explicit about it, we have a responsibility to do that. And in the New Testament, we find that there are two ongoing offices in the church. God is the one who ordained the leadership of the church, and we don't have the right to change that. In fact, in Ephesians, he says, "And he gave them apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the shepherd teachers." And the apostles and prophets were the foundation of the church. The prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles of the New Testament, there were apostles before God's word was written, or prophets who were there in the New Testament. And the apostles, the Bible tells us, were the foundation of the church. That God was building the church on the foundation of the apostles. And so their teaching then became the foundation. And that office was an office that was closed after they passed on the scene. It wasn't something that was ongoing. But as we read through the New Testament, we find these two offices that are mentioned in the Bible. One of them is elders, and the other is deacons. And so as we trace this through the New Testament, in the local church, we find these two roles, these two offices. And we're like, well, wait a second here. Because you've mentioned pastor, shepherd. I don't get how this all fits together. Well, as you trace it out, and we'll look at a couple passages that talk about this, we need to understand the word pastor, where it comes from. The word pastor is actually transliterated really from Latin. From the Latin, pastor, or the verb pastore, which means shepherd. And in the New Testament, they use the word shepherd in describing the elders. And in fact, we saw this last week when we were in Titus, that Paul calls them elders, and then he also uses another word, a third word, overseer. And so shepherd, elder, overseer were three different words and three different ways to look at this one office of elder. And so an elder is one who is governing and guiding, who is an overseer. So he is protecting and watching over, and he's a shepherd. He cares for God's people. And so the Bible describes these three. In fact, in one passage in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and we'll look at this in a little more detail towards the end of the service, but the Apostle Paul calls the Ephesian elders to him, and as he calls them, he gives them instructions. And let me just read one of the verses now in Acts 20, 28. It says, in Acts 20, 28, he says this, he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And we see the same reality in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, where Peter talks about these roles. And again, he says this. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." So to be an overseer. And so the office of elder, overseer, shepherd, when you come across those terms in the New Testament, are pointing to the same office. The other office, and we'll look first at the overview of elder and contrast it with the second office, which is deacon. And so the Bible talks about elders and deacons. And to see the difference, let's consider the role of deacon first. And we find the prototype for that in the book of Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles were preaching and the church was expanding and the church was growing. However, there were some practical needs that were in the church. There were some situations, there were some people who needed help, that needed food, and they needed to be cared for. And this became an issue, and how were the apostles going to handle it? And they found that by doing all of this caring ministry, they were neglecting their role in the church. And so what they did was, is they said, so the 12, the apostles, summoned the congregation and the disciple of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." And so they selected 7 men who were going to take over the caring responsibility of those people so that they could focus on preaching and prayer. And so that then becomes the prototype of this role of deacon that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, we read this. It says, "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, and let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Let their wives also," or some people here see deaconesses, "must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own household well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." And so this role of deacon is a distinct role from the role of elder. They are not given the authority to lead the church. They are not giving teaching responsibilities in the church. The role of a deacon is to serve, is to minister and care for the physical needs, the spiritual needs of the congregation, and to be in very practical ways to care for the church. But then, as we saw last week, we have this other office, the office of elder. And as I already noted, the Bible uses this term elder, overseer, shepherd. And for instance, in Acts chapter 15, there was a question, and it was a heated question of, does the church have to follow the Jewish regulations of the Old Testament, and do believers need to in some way convert to Judaism in order to be faithful Christians? And the church answered and said no, that what Christ did ended the sacrificial ceremonial system of the Old Testament. It was a shadow. Once the reality came, there was no need for or purpose for the shadow anymore. And then it says this in chapter 15, verse 22. "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church." And so what we see here is the beginning of this transition from the foundation of the apostles, and you notice that the elders of the local church have an equal responsibility as the apostles at this point. And as we follow the New Testament forward in time, we see that the apostles are not replaced, but that as we saw last time in Titus, every local church he told Titus to appoint elders to lead the church. And so when we looked last week at the characteristics of elders in Titus, we see a couple of things. We see that in every church, there is a plurality of elders. In other words, the local church doesn't just have one elder or shepherd or pastor that oversees the whole church, that is in charge of everything. I heard one denomination, and they said they have the Moses model, and it's a hierarchy. It kind of goes like this. It doesn't really go like this. It kind of goes really... But basically, the pastor just decides everything. And he's the head of the church, and everyone basically does what he says to do. They take orders from him, and he is the sole arbiter of how the church is going to run. I would say, practically, pragmatically speaking, it's probably really efficient because the only person he has to consult is himself. It's also really dangerous because the only person he consults is himself. And so if he goes off track, the whole church is in trouble. But that isn't how the New Testament describes leadership in the church. It talks about, he says, appoint elders in every church. And every time you come across this word elder in the New Testament, it's plural. It's elders. It is in the plurality of elders in each local congregation within the Roman Empire at the time as they were establishing the church. And notice as well with these elders that they had this responsibility to oversee the church, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. The elders had authority over the local church, but we need to understand what does it mean by authority, because that can be a dangerous thing too. I mean, rather than one person being a dictator, we just have a group of people. You know, it's an oligarchy, and whatever they say goes, and whatever they decide. There's, again, that's a misunderstanding of leadership, because all authority is derived authority. All authority is derived from God through Scripture. It is derived authority. No one has authority within himself. Everything is derived authority. And so the elders have authority, but it is derived authority. And this is important to understand because Scripture, remember, Scripture is our guide. And so whenever an elder or elders or a church step outside of what Scripture teaches, they have no authority. Because authority comes from Scripture. Remember, Peter... When they're telling him, hey, just don't preach in Jesus' name, and he says, no, I have to obey God rather than man. Well, when we step outside of what Scripture says, we don't have authority because all authority is derived authority. And so ultimately, God's word is our rule of faith and practice. And so one of the ways that the elders can speak authoritatively is... if they are speaking according to God's word, if they said, well, this is what Scripture says, well, it really isn't their authority. It's Scripture's authority that's coming in. But there's another way that they can do that or exercise authority, again, under Scripture, not outside of that. But they have authority when a decision has been made by the elders as a whole group functioning in their official capacity. And again, this is important to recognize, and I'll give you a non-elder situation. I worked at a school for a couple of years, and we had a school board. And we had one school board member who liked to just walk up to different administrators and say, well, you need to do this. Now, he had never talked to the school board about it, and the school board hadn't told him that this is how things were going to be. He just thought, well, I'm a school board member, so I can just decide what people want to do, and they have to do it. Well, the problem is just like in the church,
creation, turn it. you spoke the earth.